I'm in Luke chapter 2. We got all the way down through verse 20. All the way through verse 20. Now, so you remember the shepherds? They returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And so they kind of went out. You remember the Christmas story. I know you do. So we start in verse 21 now. And when 8 days were accomplished, now the baby, Jesus, is 8 days old. When the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus. God is salvation, or Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah our salvation. That's the name Jesus. Which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Remember, his name was Jesus before he was conceived in the womb. He has always been God and always been the Savior. Always. And so that's his name, Jesus. So on the eighth day, he was circumcised according to the Jewish customs and the law, and then was named Jesus. And we see this, when the days of her purification, Mary, Jesus' mother, purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now, according to the law, when a lady would have a baby, she had to wait approximately right around 40 days. And she was considered unclean until that time. In about 40 days, then she could enter in again unto the temple area. And she could get back with the program. And what she's going to do, of course, is they're going to make a sacrifice. And they're going to dedicate this little boy. They didn't baptize the children because baptism is a symbol of what has already taken place in your heart. And see, the little bitty ones, they don't know. They're too little. And so they would dedicate their little ones to the Lord. And so they're bringing Jesus and they're going to dedicate him to the Lord. And so we read this out of Numbers. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord. So they bring him for a sacrifice and to dedicate him to God. So Jesus is still an infant, a baby. And they offer a sacrifice, verse 24, according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, when you get some time, and you go back to, not now, but go back to Leviticus chapter 12, and you read about how this works. Now, the sacrifice that was to be brought was normally, as you read Leviticus 12, normally a lamb or a kid, a goat. Now, if the family were poor and they couldn't afford a lamb from the flock, then they were the poor, and the poorest of the poor were allowed to bring two turtle doves or two pigeons instead. Now, what does that tell you about Mary and about Joseph? I'm sorry, contrary to what people like to think, he was just a carpenter and they didn't make very much money in those days. And so Mary and her husband, that whole family, they grew up very poor. But God made allowances, knowing that some wouldn't have a lot. Some would have plenty, but some wouldn't have a lot. So he said, if you can't bring a lamb or a kid, you can bring two turtle doves or two pigeons. And that's what Mary and Joseph brought as a sacrifice unto the Lord. They didn't have a lot. Truth is, Jesus was born in a humble environment. You remember that. And he grew up in a humble environment on the streets of Nazareth. He didn't have a lot. He didn't want a lot. He didn't come down here to get very much. Matter of fact, he didn't come down here to get anything. He came down here to give. He says to you and me, you go and do likewise. You do the same thing. He says, follow me. The word follow doesn't just mean get in line. It means imitate. Imitate me. Do what I do. Well, let's see. Verse 25. And behold, as they enter into the temple area, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This is verse 25. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. What was he waiting for? He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The consolation of Israel would be who, everybody? Messiah. Jesus Christ. That's what he's waiting for. Here's this elderly gentleman. He was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. He had the Holy Spirit. And it was revealed unto him, verse 26, by the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, or the Lord's Messiah. God somehow revealed to him, I don't know how, was it a loud voice? Did it show up in a magazine cover? I don't know how God revealed it to him. I just know God revealed it to him. And God told him this, you won't die until you see the Messiah. I'm going to let you see Messiah. Well, verse 27, I like this. He came by the Spirit into the temple. Now, what that means to you and me is this. He was in the temple quite a bit, but today, maybe he wasn't planning to be there, but he just thought, you know, I need to get to the temple today. I just need to get there. That was the Holy Spirit bringing that. To, you know, some people, they wake up in the morning, it's kind of cloudy outside, doesn't really look like a good day to do much, you're not feeling that well anyway, and you think, you know, I think I'll go to church today, it's Sunday. But the truth is, the Holy Spirit has brought you. It's no mistake that you're here. And so here's Simeon. He shows up because there's no such thing as accident, really. He shows up by the Spirit in the temple. Now when the parents, Joseph and Mary, as they enter into the temple area with the baby, they came to do for him after according to the custom of the law. Then Simeon walks over to the parents and takes the baby out of Mary's arms and holds the baby in his own arms. He just walks over to this couple he doesn't know, takes the baby, and I'm sure Mary and Joseph are thinking, isn't that cute? Old grandpa here, that's kind of nice. Takes the baby and holds the baby. And what does he say? He blessed God and he said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation. Now, I don't know how you would feel. You walk in, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Mary's ready to be able to enter into the temple area. So they're going to bring the baby. They're going to offer the sacrifice of the two birds, which they could afford that at least. And they went into the temple area as soon as they walk in. An elderly gentleman walks over to them, takes the baby out of Mary's arms, holds the baby, and starts speaking to the Lord. Thanks, God. Let me die. I'm ready to go now. For I have seen, mine eyes have seen your salvation. Remember, God said to him, "You would before you die, you won't die until you see Messiah." Now, there were probably other babies in there that day. Why did he pick that one? Do you really believe in coincidence? Do you? No. There's no such thing. God showed him that was the one. And you know what amazes me? He was right. It was the right baby. He did pick up the right one. I mean, if he'd have run over and picked up Fred and go, oh, Fred, this is God, that would have been wrong. But no, he picked up Jesus. That's the right one. And if you're Fred, I mean, it's nothing personal to you. He picked up the baby Jesus and he held him. And he said, I can die now, Lord. I'm blessed. Praise God. I've seen your salvation. Oh, don't overlook that. Salvation is not something that you do. Salvation is Jesus Christ. Notice that. Salvation is a person. Many people say, what must I do to be saved? What do I do? Jesus answered that. He's going to answer it later on when he's in his public ministry. What do I do to be saved? He's going to say, believe on the one whom God has sent. That's all you have to do. That's what you got to do. And here he says, mine eyes have seen your salvation. Now notice, Jesus is salvation. Remember when he said to his disciples, I am the way. Not, I'll point you in the right way. No, I am the way. And we have people in foreign religions and false religions saying, we'll show you the path. Jesus says, no, I'm the way. I'm it. You don't have me, you don't have the way. There is no way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. He says to Mary and to Martha, she says, I know my brother's going to rise again on that last day, on that resurrection day. And what does Jesus say? Mary, Martha, I am the resurrection. There is nothing to wait for. I'm it. You know, either you have Jesus or you don't. Either you walk with Jesus or you don't. Either you have life or you don't. There's none of this sort of in between. Somebody says, I got a friend who's almost a Christian. Almost a Christian. That means you miss heaven by what, a foot? No, you either are with Jesus or you are without Him. And He says, my eyes have seen the salvation, your salvation. Let me die, Lord. I'm happy. That's all. You promised it to me, and that's enough. My eyes have seen thy salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people. Now, here's a man. The Spirit of God is upon him. He's an older gentleman. And he just said something that ought to shock everybody in the temple area that heard him. All people? You mean Messiah is not just for the Jews? But here is a prophecy, which of course we knew all about, for all people. That includes me and you. A light, verse 32, to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. I would have thought that he would have said it the other way. A light to lighten your chosen people and then even those Gentiles. But he lists Gentiles first. I wonder why. I think he's telling us something. Remember, the Holy Spirit is upon him and he is telling us something. And what he's telling us is Israel as a nation corporately are going to reject their Messiah. They're going to reject him. But the Gentiles are going to come to him. But then down the road a piece, right near the end of the Great Tribulation, even the Jewish nation is going to come around. They're going to see him, and they're going to look upon him whom they have pierced, and they're going to weep and mourn as for an only child. They're going to believe as well. It's going to take a lot of pain and suffering to get there, but it's going to happen. So you see, the Gentiles have come, and now you and I have a chance. We're living in the time right now where you and I, no matter what we look like, no matter what we can do and what we can't do, no matter how our lives have been, if we want to right now have eternal life and be saved from our sins and from total suffering for eternity, all we have to do is say yes to Jesus. No trick words, no gimmicks, no money, no eternal mailing list. Just say yes to Jesus. You say, that's too easy. And I keep saying, and aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Because if it were, and I know this, I say this a lot, if it were anything else, I could not go to heaven. If I had to be good for one straight week, if he just said, 1 week, just pick a week, give it your best shot, and if you do well, you can come to heaven. Do you know where I'd end up? Go to hell, straight to hell. I wouldn't pass go. I wouldn't collect any kind of money. I would just suffer forever because I couldn't do it for 1 week. I don't think I can do it for one full minute. And of course, the Bible tells me, think not you stand, lest you fall. So I'd be foolish to think I could try it. You know what I say? Lord, just fill me with your Spirit. Let me walk in you. Because I'm no good at this. I have never been good at it. And you talk to people out there who don't come to church here, and they'll tell you how bad I am at it. They don't love me anymore. How well are you doing at it? If you want to tell the truth, you say, well, you know, the last 30 years haven't been too good, but the 30 minutes hadn't been really bad. The last 30 minutes haven't. Truth is, it all counts. And Jesus Christ has paid the price. God's salvation. He's not going to stay a baby. You'll see in a moment. He's going to grow up. He's going to go to the cross at Calvary. He's going to be crucified. He's going to die for the sins of the whole world. You know, he died for the sins. This is so weird. He died for the sins in your life. You Christian. You say, I'm a Christian. He died for the sins that you haven't even committed yet. Oh, man. And he's going to let you commit them. And when you're shocked, I'm always shocked and stunned when I do something. That, oh, what am I doing? I can't believe it. God didn't even stand up. He's not shocked. He knew it. He died for it already. You say, well, then I'm going to run out and do it. No, that's not the point. No, that's you missed it. You missed it. And Paul will talk to us about that as we go through the New Testament. Just because we know that we're forgiven, should we go out and do anything we want? No, that's not when you love somebody. Jesus says, if you love me, obey me. Well, here we go. He says, a light to lighten the Gentiles, verse 32, and glory of the glory of thy people Israel. And verse 33, you ever read through your Bible and you read some verses and you read over them quickly because you think they don't say much? Don't admit it, but it does happen, doesn't it? You're skimming through until you get some meat. Well, you know, and so a lot of times you skip verse 33. And Joseph and the baby's mother. See, Luke is saying Joseph is not the father. Catch, don't miss that. Joseph and Jesus' mother marveled at the things that were being spoken of Jesus. They were surprised. It would surprise you if a stranger walked up, grabbed your baby and said, man, oh man, I'm glad to see this kid. I can die a happy man now. I've seen your baby. Anybody ever said that to you? No. When they took me from my mother's hands, they laughed. And Simeon blessed them, verse 34. And he said unto Mary, the baby's mother, he said, behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Some will come to him, they will humble themselves, and they will be taken to heaven. Some will be crushed by him, and they will fall and be gone, is what he's saying. And he will be for a sign which shall be spoken against. He's going to be rejected. They'll speak against him. Yea, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. When he said that, Mary probably didn't understand it, but you look at her life, what a difficult life. Even standing at the cross, when her son is there on the cross bleeding, and you see the blood pouring down, here's his own mother watching him die, knowing that's why he came. And that sword pierced through her soul as well. She was heartbroken. And there was one, the Bible goes on to say, Anna, a prophetess. She was the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. Now, I'll just throw this in as an aside. It's got nothing to do with the story we're reading here, but I just want you to know that you were just told something here that destroys the theory of the 10 lost tribes. If they were lost, how did Asher get back into Israel? Remember, after the Babylonian captivity, they believe some moved on over and went up into Germany and then over onto the islands, the British islands, and then creeped on over to America and became, and people are teaching that we're the 10 lost tribes and we're the real true Israel and they're not, and that's garbage. That's one word for it. And sure enough, 10 lost tribes. Oh, wait a minute. God hasn't lost anybody. Here's one. Here's one of the lost tribes right here. Here's a lady from the tribe of Asher. And she was of great age, which is King James language for this was an old lady. That's what he says. She had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. She was married for 7 years and her husband died. And now she had become a widow. So she was about 84 years old. She'd been single a long time now. And she didn't depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in the instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spoke of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She came in, also recognized the baby, and we aren't told exactly what she said, but she obviously praised God and spoke about this baby as well. And when, verse 39 says, when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. You say, wait a minute, they went to Egypt. Yeah, Luke doesn't cover that. He didn't say they didn't go. Luke doesn't cover it because he's writing for a different reason than some of the other gospel writers. And you'll notice each of the gospel writers pick different things to show different things. And so Luke isn't saying it didn't go to Egypt. Luke is saying after they did all that needed to be done of the Lord, they headed on back to where they came from. Now see, there was a short little trip over into Egypt, approximately 3 years, to save the baby because, remember, Herod wanted him dead. And so, no, the Bible doesn't contradict itself. Luke is wanting to show us, though he was the Son of the living God, he was completely human. So Luke sticks with the aspects that he's trying to show Theophilus. Well, let's see. And the child grew strong in spirit. So grew would be physically, strong in spirit would be spiritually, filled with wisdom, that's the mental and emotional. So Jesus grew physically, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, is what the Bible says. And in the grace, and the grace of God was upon him. So here we have the child growing up. He didn't remain a baby. So all those pictures you see of the baby destroying Satan, he's holding a little world in his hand and he's destroying Satan. No. Jesus grew up and he came to this earth to go to the cross, and that's where he's headed. And now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. And when Jesus was 12, at 12 years old, the 12-year-old could participate now. And so Jesus went along as well. Went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feasts. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried in Jerusalem, behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother, Jesus' mother, notice again, Joseph is not the father, but Mary is the mother. Joseph and Jesus' mother didn't know he stayed back in Jerusalem. Now, what you would do, you would go down to the feast, and the Passover feast was normally one day. The Passover was one day. But then the feast that followed it was a seven-day feast called the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. So normally when they came together, you would do the Passover feast and then the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. So you were there in Jerusalem about 8 days. That's what we're reading. When they had fulfilled the days, that's why it's plural. Feast of the Passover and then the Feast of the Unleavened Bread together. And they fulfilled the days. Well, then they all gathered at one of the gates and headed north, on the road north, headed back for home. But neither of them understood, Joseph nor Mary realized, that Jesus had stayed back in Jerusalem. They supposed, verse 44, they supposed him to have been in the company, and they went a full day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. So, you see, Joseph thinks he's with Mary, with his mother. Mary thinks, oh, he's probably walking with Joseph. And so the crowd is so big, because remember, everyone had to come down for the feast. So the crowd is so big, they think, well, they're relatives and friends. He's safe, not a problem. It's a big group traveling together. Well, they travel a full day's journey, and they get to where they're going. Joseph and Mary get together, and Mary goes, well, where's Jesus? And Joseph goes, he's not with you. You know, the punishment you're going to have, go to heaven and you have lost the Messiah. I thought she had, the woman you gave me, I thought she did it. Well, you're the man of the house, you're the priest, where's the baby? They didn't know. And when they found him not, they turned back again, verse 45, head back to Jerusalem. So a full day out. Now they have to turn around, just Joseph and Mary, a full day back in the town. And it came to pass after 3 days, a full day out, a full day back, and another day. You know, Jerusalem's not that small, still kind of crowded. They're looking for Jesus. He's 12 years old, and they can't find him. Came to pass, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst, or right in the middle of, or among the doctors, meaning the doctors of the law, the scribes, the Pharisees, the holy people, the Bible scholars, whatever term you like to use. And he was, notice, listening to them and asking them questions. They were discussing the Holy Scriptures. I like it. At 12 years old, this is God. He could take over. But do you notice, young people, do you notice the Bible says what he was doing? He was with these adults, but he wasn't rebuking them or laughing at them. What was he doing? He was listening to them. Did you young people want to mark that down? I'll wait. He was listening to them, and he was also asking them questions. At 12 years old, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. Now the scholars, they were going, man, what a smart kid. You know, at 12 years old, I couldn't have done that. Could you? No. I remember I had been saved just a few years, and I was attending a small church, and the pastor got up one Sunday morning, and he said, the men needed to step out and take their rightful places. So from this, starting this Sunday on, every man will get up and take his turn and give at least a 10-minute little sermon. He said, you should be able to talk 10 minutes about Jesus. You can get up and talk about what he's doing in your life. Get up and talk about a verse that spoke to your heart this week, but every man's going to do it. You know what I did? I left. Are you crazy? I couldn't get up and talk 10 minutes about God. I could talk an hour about football. Tell you their scores, the numbers that they wore, their weight, how many teeth were still in their mouth, who they married, and why they married them, how many children they had, and did they have any ducks at home. I mean, I could tell you. I couldn't say hello in 10 minutes when I was on the stage playing professional music. It took me 32 minutes just to say hello, because you haven't noticed it here, but I talk quite a bit in other places. You tell me talk 10 minutes about Jesus, I run, because I didn't have 10 minutes worth of anything to say. I know men and women right now have been saved 20 years. You say, tell us, give us a 5-minute talk about, I don't have five. They couldn't talk 5 minutes about their Lord. I couldn't. And here's a 12-year-old Jesus discussing the Holy Scriptures with the learned men. How many days? 3 days. I couldn't do it for 10 minutes, and here's a 12-year-old does it for 3 days. You say, yeah, but he's God. Yeah, but he was into the Word, and he learned. Can you imagine being God? Go ahead and being born, being put in an animal feeding trough, being raised by a poor carpenter and his wife, and having to learn to read? Willing to be that humble, go ahead and learn yourself how to read. Learn yourself, or let them teach you to write. Learn the Holy Scriptures by studying them. Can you imagine? Well, his parents found him. When they saw him, verse 48, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "This son, why have you dealt with us this way? We are so upset. Why have you done this to us? Your father and I have sought thee sorrowing. We were worried. We haven't seen you for 3 days. We didn't know what was wrong with you. Why have you done this?" She wasn't mad. She was afraid. She was a distraught mom. And he answered her and said, I love this answer. This is amazing to me. How is it that you sought me? And you know what Jesus is saying? Oh, mom. You knew right where I would be. You didn't have to go looking around town. You just come straight to my father. You know where I belong. And did Mary know where he belonged? Yes, she did. She knew how he got there. She knew that this was a miracle birth. She knew who he was. So did Joseph. Remember, the angel told Joseph too. They knew. They shouldn't have gone. He says, oh, you didn't need to look all around town. You know where I belong. This is my father's house. You know that, mom. It shocked her. She was surprised. But the truth is, she did know. And then he said, didn't you know that I must be about my father's business? What was he saying? I've been looking for carpentry work up here in Jerusalem. No. You know who my father is, and so does Joseph. And you know I'm here to do my father's business. That's what I'm doing here. That's why I came. And mom, you know that. And Joseph, you know it too. I didn't mean to worry you, but man, you didn't have to look around. You knew where I would be. And they did not understand the saying which he spoke unto them. And notice verse 51, he went down with them. Down means you left the high hill of Jerusalem, headed down the mountain, and then went on up north to Nazareth. And he was, another one for you to underline, young people, subject to them, to his parents. Now this is God who could tell his parents what to do. Instead, he submitted to them. And he listened to them. And he was much smarter than they were. He wrote the scriptures, never mind knew them. Yet he submitted to that authority. Why? To please his Father in heaven. Because that's what God had sent him to do. And Jesus increased. Oh, I'm sorry. He was subject unto them. Mary kept all these sayings in her heart. Mary, she thought about this. Man, Simeon, the angel way back there before the baby was born. This is God the Son. She doesn't understand a lot that's going on around her, but she knows that this is exactly what God is wanting with her life, no matter how hard her life is. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. He continued to grow. Notice he didn't stay 12 years old either. He continued to grow. People say, you know, there are some lost years between the time he was 12 and the time he was 30 when he went into public ministry. We don't know much about him. Well, all you do is read the Old Testament. That's all you have to do. You'll see how he grew wisdom and how he would live and how he would walk. Now, there are some fake documents out there. If you want to read some of the occult works, the lost gospels of Jesus Christ, the lost years, you know, how the spirits revealed to others those years that are missing, and they write it down. There's one, these are great stories. If you don't know Jesus, you might even believe it. You know, there's one that goes something like this. Jesus, as a child, of course, would go to school, and the teacher was teaching him the alphabet. And so the teacher would say, all right, this is an A, Aleph. Say A, and Jesus would say A. He said, all right, this is a B, and say that. And Jesus looked at him and refused, said, I will not say the B until you explain to me the A. And the teacher raised his hand to slap this child, Jesus. And Jesus looked at him, and the man's hand withered, and he could never use it again for the rest of his life. Now, is that the Jesus you know? How about the one where you start reading the lost years of Jesus, Nostradamus and all these amazing people, they write these, and they say, Jesus, when he was a kid, they were playing, some of the kids were making fun of him because the world knew Joseph wasn't his real father. And as the kids were making fun of him, Jesus looked at one little boy, and that boy fell over dead. You believe that? I don't either. Or even in his younger years when they were out playing and he started bragging to his friends, you know, I'm God and I control everything. Those birds up there do whatever I tell them. And the kids started saying, they don't either. And he said, watch. He points to one of the birds and it falls down dead. You believe that? Don't read that garbage. That'll turn your brains into tapioca pudding and they'll run out your ears. That's foolish. That's not the God we know. That's not the God we serve. That's not clear at all. You want to know what Jesus was doing growing up? Read through your Bible. God shows you how he'll grow up a tender root before the Lord, how he'll grow up in wisdom and strength, how he will grow in obedience, how he is and was and always will be completely sinless. That's the Jesus you serve. And he came to this world to do his Father's will. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All you got to do is believe. That's what it's all about. Jesus is salvation. John writes it in his epistle. In 1 John, he says, this is the record, chapter 5, starting in verse 11. This is the record that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. You either have Jesus or you don't. There is no salvation any other place. There is no salvation any other religion. There is no other name that you can call upon to be saved. But it's easy. Because it takes no effort on my part or yours. No, it takes no strength at all. It takes weakness, as a matter of fact, to just cry out to Jesus. And here we see him, and we're learning about him. And God, so lovingly, gives us his word where we can look, and we can see, and we can follow along, and we can compare it with itself, and we can start to be faithless no longer. Jesus was born in a stable, in that cave in Bethlehem. He was laid in an animal feeding trough. Shepherds came to see him. Some of the lowest of the Israelites were shepherds. People say kings visited him. Yeah, not for almost 2 years. By the time the kings show up, he'll be living in a house with his parents. And he will not be a newborn anymore. He'll be a baby. He came to this world to take on human flesh, to walk through the very things you're walking through now. When people abuse you, when people cheat you and steal from you, when people talk about you and say all manner of evil against you, he was treated the very same way. When people walk away from you and they leave you and you think you're all alone, he was treated the very same way. His close friends ran away and he was left all alone. So when you say, I feel I'm lonely, he says, I'm with you. I know how you feel. I'm right here. And then he says this, and I never would ever walk away from you. I would never leave you. Never. Yeah, but I'm dirty and I do everything wrong. And boy, some days I'm not even sure what is my problem. And God says, I'm right there. You listen to me. You trust me. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. This is the way. Walk in it. Don't trust anything but me. Put your weight on me. Put your trust in me. Put your hope in me. Listen to me, he says. He loves you. And he is here. He does miracles. I just noticed that he doesn't do them upon my command. He just wants me to learn that it is he that's in charge. I don't order God around. He orders me around. See, we are his. He is the master. We need to trust him and listen to him. He loves you. Cry out to him. Let's bow our heads.